If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
It is Tuesday, and that means it's time to call our good friend Liz. Liz is part of a wonderful program called Little Brothers, Friends of the Elderly. And they have a great phone buddies program going on because, you know, look, with the COVID, programs like these suffer because it really is all about connection and going places and going to visit. Well, you can't really do that right now, but you sure can visit on the phone. And that's what we do weekly with Liz. And Liz joins us on the phone. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
How are you?
Well, I'm doing great.
Oh.
Surprisingly.
Liz, don't go outside. It's 137 degrees outside.
I kind of gathered that when I listened to the news earlier.
Oh, yeah. A lot of humidity.
It's not fun.
Liz, what is your favorite season? We've never asked you this. What time of year do you enjoy the most?
What time of year?
Yeah, what season do you like the most?
Well, actually, I'm a winter person.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, did you enjoy, like, any outdoor, like, skiing or any outdoor activities? Yeah, ice skating?
Well, I was an ice skater. I practically lived on the ice rink when I was a kid.
Oh, my gosh. You're just full of mysteries that we discover every week.
Of course you were, Dorothy Hamill. Of course you were, Liz.
You know, I wished I had been.
Oh, wow.
I was going to ask, Liz, is there something you've done? You know, Dawn just made the comment, and it's so true. I mean, every time we talk to you, we learn a great little nugget about you. But looking back, Liz, you have done so many things. But is there something as you reflect back on your life that you wish you would have done? Like, is there an event or like maybe a career path that you're like, you know what, that would have been fun?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, the one thing I never had a chance to do was get married.
Oh, yeah.
I never found the right guy, I guess.
Well, there's still hope, isn't there?
I don't think so. Not at 83.
Oh, well, you never
get on
know.
The app and start swiping.
That's right. Wow, Liz, I don't know why. I thought that you were, but oh, that's
Me
interesting.
Too.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in a time, you know, I was a very opinionated woman.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, the time I grew up, women were supposed to be sweet, little, passive people, you know, and they were never supposed to disagree with their husbands.
Oh.
And I had a big mouth.
Oh, I love it.
We love that about you.
I've never been married either, Liz, and I'm 46, and I don't see myself getting married. So, you know what? It's okay.
I think it was better for me if I didn't get married because... I don't think most men would be very comfortable with me because I do have one major medical problem that would make a lot of people very uncomfortable.
Okay.
I am what they call bipolar.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, again, Liz, we keep discovering little nuggets about you. Oh, that's fascinating.
You know,
it is, you know, but you know, I've never been ashamed of being bipolar.
No.
Because I've been able to work with it very successful over the years.
Well, a lot of the top CEOs are, you know, in the country. It has nothing to do with intelligence or anything. A lot of very smart people that run companies are bipolar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you have to have it under control properly.
Sure.
Fortunately for me, I ran into some of the best people around that dealt with it.
How old were you when you found out you were bipolar?
Well, I started having problems when I was in high school, but I was finally diagnosed when I was 35.
Gosh, that's a long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to get on the right medication and treatments for that probably took a while to get it right.
Well, you know the big problem with a lot of people that have bipolar disease, they don't like to stay on the medication because, you know, it is a dampening of your emotions sometimes. You know, you can't get as silly and out of bounds as you could, you know, if you are on a medication. But I knew from a very early age, you know, that unless I was under control, you know, I could get really crazy.
Well, yeah.
You said you were diagnosed in your 30s. Liz, I bet it was not concerning, but before there was a proper diagnosis, did you really wonder, did you recognize that there was something, I don't want to say different, but there was something going on?
Yeah, I did actually when I was in high school.
Okay.
Oh, and I think part of the reason I got interested is because my best friend developed schizophrenia.
Wow.
And so I started reading books on psychology, trying to figure out what she had. Mm-hmm. And that was when I discovered, I knew that I had mood swings.
Yeah.
You know, that I would be really high and go, you know, be running around like a bunny rabbit. And then I didn't want to do anything for long periods of time.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then
gosh.
When she developed schizophrenia, I decided, I wonder what this is all about. So I started reading books about it, and I found one book that gave a perfect description of my behavior, and so I knew something was wrong with me. But, you know, you didn't talk about things like that when I was growing up.
Well,
people don't even want to talk about it now. I mean, it's very brave of you to talk about this on the radio, so thank you so much. I'm sure it's going to help somebody today.
Well, I hope it does, you know, because, you know, just by being bipolar, that isn't your whole person.
No.
You know,
it's a disease
just like anything else, like diabetes or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know,
that's
it's why, a part of you, but that isn't your whole personality.
Right.
That's probably why you were such a great teacher.
Well, you know, it made me be able to understand kids a lot better than some teachers would, because I could see, you know, what their mood swings were and everything else a lot better than a lot of people could.
Right, and have more
and
patience.
And understand that there's something going on here beneath the surface.
You referenced, and it's very true, you know, society, and Dawn's right too, you don't even want to, people don't want to talk about it now. There's a kind of a cloud of shame sometimes.
Exactly.
An unnecessary cloud of shame. Were you pretty outspoken even shortly after your diagnosis in a different era? Were you?
Yes, I was, because I did not see any shame in it, you know, because I said, you know, I can live with this. I don't see what the big problem is.
Wow.
But I know a lot of them people that
people
do have it didn't want to talk about it, and were ashamed of having it because it does have a stigma.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing of it was, I decided, you know, I would be an advocate of teaching people that there's no shame in having this condition any worse than it's of any other condition.
Well,
so I've been an advocate my whole life on it, and trying to get people to understand, you know, that some things are invisible, but they're just as important with having care than other things.
Well, it's that old saying, Liz, you know, people fear what they don't understand.
And so that's exactly right.
So the more you talk about it, the more it becomes, and I don't like the word normal, but it normalizes it. And the fear goes, the fear evaporates. When people understand it more, they may have misconceptions about what it means. But when brave folks like you talk about it and talk about it with just a sense of just everydayness, I'll make up that word there.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. It removes the fear, and I think that that's so important. And like Dawn said, I think you're helping someone right now. There is someone listening to the show right now, right, Lex? That is hearing their story and your story, Liz, without a doubt.
Yeah, that's true. And they, you know, and the one thing I like to say is you don't have to be ashamed of being this way, because in a lot of ways, people with my condition are smarter than a lot of people. Because I understand it seems to affect people that are more intelligent sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I can say I'm a smarty.
Well, you've proven that over and over for us, for sure.
Oh,
Do you think it added a level of compassion that you wouldn't have had otherwise, Liz?
I really do, yeah. Because when you're sensitive to your own needs, you're more sensitive to other people's needs.
Ding, ding. Yeah. Yes.
With a, I'm going to put that, write that on a banner right there. So.
Yeah.
Well, Liz, thank you. I mean, wow, we owe you a big thanks today. Thanks for this great conversation. Stay cool. Don't go outside, Liz, because, again, it's 400 degrees outside. So
I believe it, and I'm not going anyplace.
Good.
Now, you guys stay safe, too, and take care.
We will. Okay. We'll talk to you next week, Liz.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Liz.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I'm so pleased that she just felt so open to say what a gift.
Like, without even a pause. And there shouldn't be a pause. But she just, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love every conversation, whether it's just a fun little thing about what she wanted to do or what shows she used to watch.
She's reading.
Or a book she's reading, Lex, or something.
Or listening to.
Yeah, and then when she spoke to us following the uprising, following the death of George Floyd, talking about her social stance and her social justice. Yes,
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah. Every conversation, you're like, I'm not making a joke here. She's Forrest Gump.
She's a catch.
She has lived a life.
If I was an 83-year-old man in a retirement facility, I'd be hitting on Liz. Sounds weird, but
next time we talk to her, I'm going to ask her if she drank a Dr. Pepper with President Kennedy. I'm gonna ask her. I swear. And if she owns a shrimp company, because I swear she's Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Did you house Elvis when you were a kid?
Oh my gosh!
How about ping pong? Do you like to play that?
Are you good at ping pong, Liz?
How about running?
You are our delightful Forrest Gump. What a gem! What just that she's delightful, man. It doesn't get better than that.